Hey y'all, it's Wo Susanna. Welcome to episode 6 of the How May I Offend You Today podcast. I'm going live while I'm recording this podcast on Facebook as well. So you may be watching me on Facebook right now. If you are watching me on Facebook, you have the option to just listen to me if you don't want to see me right now. As I was just explaining to my Facebook fans and followers, that's some alliteration. I look like shard on a shingle today. It's a rainy day. I'm about 9 weeks past getting my hair did, and I have an appointment to do that tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm pulling a Nancy Pelosi and getting my hair done tomorrow, and just really excited about that. So if you are watching me on Facebook and you think, oh, no, this woman is too grotesque for me to watch at this moment, I'm going to have to just listen to her voice, then you have the option to do that, to go and listen to the podcast on Spotify and whatnot. First things first, let's get this out of the way. How May I Offend You Today? The book is doing extremely well in pre-orders, and that is because of you and you alone. Well, and the good Lord has just blessed this book, and I am thankful for it. Pre-orders are going great. If you have not already pre-ordered the book, I encourage you to do so. If you check my Facebook page, there is a post there from yesterday or day before yesterday about how you can receive an advance copy. The book comes out October the 20th, but you can get a copy about 2 weeks earlier than that. If you pre-order the book and then provide a copy of your receipt, all the details are there. It's doing great on several Amazon charts, and I am just thankful for it. How May I Offend You Today? The name of the book and of this podcast. So, today we're not going to talk politics. I am so sick of politics, and you, if you've been following me, you know my political views, you know where I stand. It's like beating a dead horse every time I post something about it. You already know where I stand in politics. Let's get away from it. Every time I turn on the news, which is not often, I pride myself on not being consumed by the news, because it can really have an impact on a person's thought processes and state of passivity, as my husband's late grandmother used to say. Can put you in a constant state of passivity, being just ticked off all the time. And so I only watch certain things at certain hours, and I'm trying to get away from it on the internet. And just like I said before, you don't want to have your head stuck in the sand, but too much can really have a negative effect on your health and your thought life and the way you scream at the television and small animals and children. It can really mess a sister up if you let it take over your life. So we are not talking politics today. Things are screwed up, but we're going to let other people figure it out. I'm not figuring it out for y'all today. I thought it would be a good idea to do a podcast about most embarrassing moments. A friend called me the other night, old high school friend, and we called up, and it was great to talk to her. And did that. You remember that time? You remember that time? We had lots of conversations about remember that time. And some of my most embarrassing moments are not really embarrassing moments, but instead of embarrassing moments, regretful moments. The Lord has forgiven that on the cross, so we're not going to bring those things back up. So instead, we are going to just bring up a couple of my most embarrassing moments that we talked about on the phone last night. I encourage you to share, if you're watching me on Facebook right now, share some of your most embarrassing moments in the comment section. I will try to roll over here at the end of this podcast and go back and address some of those things for our listeners. And let me throw this in there really quickly. This is kind of a squirrel chasing a nut thing. You know how my ADD works. But I am scheduling some guests for the podcast, so it's not just going to be me sitting here rambling off and telling you all my opinions and thoughts. I'm praying on some friends and some people I've reached out to, and we're going to try to schedule up some future podcasts of things that I think you will find enlightening and enjoyable and fun. And so we're working on that. God bless it, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. So some most embarrassing moments. I've jotted a couple down. There's so many you have to weed through embarrassing moments, but I thought this could be kind of a lighthearted way for us to get our minds off all the other bull crap going on. And we can sit here and listen to embarrassing moments and not even wear a mask while we're doing it. That was not a political plug. It's just, I don't have a mask on. It's a fact. There was, let's see, which one do I want to start with? There was the one the time when I had all of my children in the pool at we used to go to the Tennessee a place on the Tennessee we had a place on the Tennessee River, and there was a pool there for the or the campground. And I had all my kids were little bitty, my 14-year-old and now my now 14-year-old and 10-year-old were little toddlers. So you know what all goes with taking toddlers to the pool. You got Cheetos and floats and noodles and crying and whining and poo-poo stuck in a little swimmer. Just real overwhelming. It's not an enjoyable time. And so I had them in the shallow end of the pool. This was a time when I was taking a lot of B vitamin supplements. My face had broken out terribly and I had taken a lot of B vitamin supplements. And if you don't know, one of the side effects of taking B vitamins, a plethora of them, is neon urine, just bright, glowing neon urine. And so I'm sitting there on the step in the shallow end with my children, and there's other people in the pool. And I thought, hey, why not? I'm not loading up these Cheetos and these kids and these poo-poo diapers and going trekking all the way up this hill. For somebody to maybe have to potty, you know, for me to go up there and take all them with me. I'm just gonna, you know, let it go right here. Don't act like you've never peed in a pool. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. And so I did. I just let it roll, and I was soon surrounded by a glow. It was like I was radioactive. There was this glow of neon orange yellow urine just surrounding me and my poor children, bless their hearts. And I started just kind of flopping around like a convulsing whale before the other patrons, the other swimmers, recognized that I was leaking some kind of radioactive fluid. I do know for a fact that some other people, there was a girl over there in a New York Yankees hat. I remember that because I'm a fan of the Yankees. How may I offend you today? And I remember admiring her hat, and I know that she noticed that I had peed in the pool. There was the time that I was in first grade and I farted in the swings outside on the playground. Hey, what, I had a fudge round for breakfast. Sue me. I was a chubby little 7-year-old, 7-year, yeah, 7 years old, and I just let one rip on the swings. And there happened to be a group of boys standing around, and for the next, let's see, 11 years, 10 years of my school career, every time I passed one of those three boys in the hallway, they would always not even say anything. They would just go, whatever. They would make a farting noise. It got to the point I would just make it when I saw them to keep them from having to say it. So for years of my life, every time I passed, I have not seen any of those guys in 20 years, over 20 years. If I passed them right now in an aisle on Lowe's, they would undoubtedly when they pass me. Wouldn't say a word, wouldn't say, hey, how you been doing? Did you get married? You got kids? How's everything going? Wouldn't say a word. They would just fart and keep on walking back to power tools. That stuck with me for a very long time. In third grade, is it frozen? In the third grade, I'm not talking to my podcast listeners. I'm talking to my Facebook visitors. In third grade, there was an incident where this boy, Andy, pushed me through some bushes. Pushed me through some bushes, and as I'm sitting there in class, I have tear, I'm all scratched up from these bushes. And as I'm sitting there in class, my teacher, a wonderful lady named Miss Melba, was going on about her studies, and she could notice that I was distraught and also noticed that I had holly gashes on the side of my face and my arms. I looked like I'd been thrown into some pavement from a moving van. And she said, Susanna, are you okay? And you know, when somebody, you have this bottled up emotion and you're trying not to cry in front of people, and then somebody asks, are you okay? And you just go hysterical. I went absolutely hysterical in front of everyone in my third grade class and just started screaming that this kid, Andy, had pushed me through some bushes. And so everybody looked, they looked like maybe they should hide under their desks, because I was just crying and screaming and pointing at this kid, as you know, I had scratches all down my arm. And so poor Miss Melba brought me, she was so precious. She is still, she, I don't know how old Miss Melba is now, but I still talk to her granddaughter some. She was the most precious woman, precious teacher. And she called me up to the front and slathered me down in Neosporin And so I walked around like I was covered in Vaseline for the rest of the day. My clothes were sticking to me like a wet Band-Aid, and it was horrible and embarrassing. But the fact that I had such an emotional outburst in front of my entire third grade class, if you were in my third grade class, you probably still remember this, when I was screaming at this poor kid, Andy, about bushes. I wonder what he does now. I wonder if he's into landscaping. Probably not. Instead of trimming hedges, he's probably pushing innocent people into them. That's probably what Andy is up to now. Andy, if you're listening, don't call me. Got up one night. There was a dance contest at the local bar, and all these women, girls, not women, that's for sure, young girls are standing on the stage, and they play, the DJ plays a snippet of Brick House, and like a 10-15 minute clip of Brick House. And so each girl takes turns dancing up on the bar, and whoever wins, whoever gets the most applause from all the drunken people, men in the bar at these girls dancing, won like something. I don't know what they won. Maybe a gift card to McDonald's for $5. It wasn't worth your dignity, whatever the prize was. So I think, hey, I've got good moves. Like Jagger, I don't. I'm going to get up here and dance and win this whatever gift card to Arby's or whatever it is. And so I'm probably next, I'm way on down the line. And so they play She's a Brick House and for 10-15 seconds, and each girl takes a turn dancing. Well, everything, you know, the crowd's going wild. Woo, yeah, baby, what up? It's demoralizing. It's really demeaning. And the girl next to me had a rump so big you could serve coffee off of it. It was like a table. And she had a legit brick house. She had a brick condominium back there. And so she's doing her thing and she, brick house, and she about knocks me off the bar, you know. And the crowd just erupts of all the people to follow. This is who I have to follow. I do not have a brick house. I am as flat as the centerfold in an IHOP menu. Okay? No brick house. It looks like the big bad wolf succeeded on the bricks when it comes to my brick house. And so this is who I have to follow, though, right? This is who I have to follow. The girl who just stole the show and knocked off all the bottles of Patron behind the bar. This is who I have to follow. And so the little clip plays, and I do my not brick house, my paper houses, okay, cards, houses, a house of cards, flat. I do my house of cards, and I'll tell you what, the music stops. And it's this. The one legally blind man in the back of the bar. The one legally blind man decides to clap. I had had a lot of alcohol that night, God forgive me. But I didn't have enough to cease the absolute embarrassment and shame as I crawled down from that bar. Well, slid down. I was about 30 pounds thinner than I am now. So I had absolutely nothing. That was absolutely one of my most embarrassing moments. I had to go speak to a women's convention, a women's luncheon of about 300 ladies. And you probably know this story. I think I already told it on Facebook. And dropped part of my granola bar into my heated seat that I was eating on the way, chocolate chip granola bar, and it melted all over the seat of my pants. And a woman in the gas station stopped me and said, "Honey, you must have pooped yourself or something. You have stains all over the back of your pants." White pants, I'm sorry, white pants. And I'm on my way to this luncheon to speak to 300 people, and I have to call the girl who is in charge of the luncheon, the director, and say, "Hey, I need you guys to round me up some Clorox wipes, some shout pins, something, a bucket of bleach. I need something. I cannot get up and speak in front of all these people with this chocolate poop all over the back of my pants." And she was like, "I'm working on it." And so she's scrambling behind the scenes as I'm on my way there. And when I get there, immediately, "Hey, how are you doing?" Never met her before, Denise. Never met her before, but it was, "Hey, how are you doing? Let's go in the bathroom and remedy this situation." And so this woman who I don't know is bent over at my butt, scrubbing it with various cleaning products, Tire Bright, whatever she could find. to try to keep me from being embarrassed of walking up. And you know what I had to do. What do you have to do with your most embarrassing moments? You just have to own it. So I walked up instead of starting off with my usual speech. Hey, how's everybody doing? I said, listen, I just want to let everybody know I did not crap my pants today. This is granola bar. You have to just own these embarrassing moments. That's what I'm doing right now. And no rag rats. You have to own these embarrassing moments, which that is an embarrassing moment of standing outside on 2nd Street in Nashville one night, drunk as Cooter Brown, Lord forgive me again. And there's this guy standing there with a no rag rats tattoo, and I did not get that it was a joke. I understand it's no regrets misspelled, meaning no regrets. Even I misspelled this tattoo, but I still have no regrets. It's misspelled. I get that premise, but in my drunken stupor at the time, I stood there and argued with this guy that his tattoo was misspelled and did not see the irony in it at all because my judgment was so clouded and he had had enough of me. I know it's not right to hit a woman, but he probably had every right to do so as I was in his face telling him his tattoo was misspelled. And then my husband was standing over there and he's like, look, Susanna, I'm sorry. She's just, you know, she's had a little much. She doesn't understand the joke. And, you know, that's embarrassing for me because I'm supposed to understand jokes. I'm a jokester. I'm supposed to understand sarcasm and wit. And I did not understand it. And instead, I ridiculed the poor man and acted like he was the idiot. It was egg all over my face. Egg all, and literally because we went to Denny's after and I ordered eggs. And if I had been drinking, it was probably a really disgusting spectacle to see me eating breakfast foods, eggs. So it was literally and figuratively egg all over my face. And so my husband had to apologize for me. He's had to do that more times than he would like to admit. But no ragrets. I do ragret that. I do ragret the fact that I tried to school this young man about his tattoo that was misspelled. I do have a ragret about that. 11th grade. We had a known drug dealer that went to high school with us. This is not speculation, okay? The boy boasted that he sold drugs. That's how he made his loot. He was a drug dealer. Very nice guy. Nice guy, I mean, as far as drug dealers go. Never had any problems with him. We sat beside each other in study hall, so, you know, he would borrow pens and things, and he would borrow pens and you'd see, you know, a little morphine fall out of his pocket, you know, or some whatever. But he was a very nice guy. He didn't even get in trouble at school, but he was a drug dealer. And it was not a front of he was like, you know, trying to be bad and be like, hey, I deal drugs. He was a drug dealer. If I could interview him right now, he would tell you, yeah, I was and may still be, I don't know, a drug dealer. And so we had last period together when I was in 11th grade, and he lived not far from me. He lived down the street from me, basically. And he asked me in last period, he said, Susanna, I need a ride home from school. Can you please give me a ride home from school? Well, I'm thinking, you know, he's a drug dealer. I don't know if I want to have a drug dealer in my vehicle. And I was like, man, I almost said his name. I don't need to do that. I was like, dude, I don't know. He's like, Susanna, please. You know I live right down the street from you. It's not that far. Just please drop me off at the house. And I was like, well, you know, I'm a good Samaritan. You know, I'm a good Samaritan. And so I asked him this. I said, listen, are you going to be getting in my Mitsubishi Eclipse with paraphernalia? Do you have drugs? I ain't got nothing on me. I ain't got nothing. Why, you need something? I said, no, I don't need anything. Are you going to be bringing drugs into my car? I cannot be getting pulled over after school with cocaine in my seat. I can't. Listen, I'm trying to go to Beta Club convention next week. All right? I can't be getting in this kind of trouble. Do you have drugs on you? No, I ain't got any drugs on me. No. I just need a ride home. I said, okay, I'll give you a ride home. Meet me out at my car in the parking lot. So I go to my locker and get my stuff. When I get out there, he's already there. And I'm already a little embarrassed. I'm going to say it. I'm already embarrassed that people see him standing by my car because they're thinking I'm coming to buy an 8-ball after school. And it's completely ruining my reputation. I don't, you know, about including others and being kind to others, that's wonderful. But still, People say birds of a feather flock together. And if people see me hanging out with a drug dealer, their first thought is I'm going to be, hey, she's tutoring him in math, because I was terrible at math. They're going to think, hey, Susanna's got a drug problem. Susanna is involved in a drug ring. Okay? She's listed to the Dixie Chicks, but she's involved in a drug ring in her Mitsubishi Eclipse wearing her American Eagle overalls. What's in her American Eagle overalls? Methamphetamine? We don't know. So he's standing out there at my car, and we get in the car, and I have to admit I'm a little embarrassed that people see me taking him home. And I'm like, okay, let's get home. He's like, Susanna, please run me through Burger King. This is true. Please run me through Burger King. I was like, I am not running you. I've got to get home. I didn't have to get home. I did lie to him, but I didn't want to run the drug dealer through Burger King. I said, listen, I got to get to the house. I've got to get home. He's like, listen, my mama's working. He gave me this whole sob story. My mama's working. I'm starving. She's not going to be home till late. Just run me through Burger King. I'll even buy you something. Just run me through Burger King. Burger King was kind of on the way, so I couldn't argue it wasn't on the way. I said, all right, I'll run you through Burger King. So here I am driving the drug dealer from the high school across town to the Burger King. Of course, the line is wrapped around the building as all the kids get out of school and want Burger King too. And so every time somebody drives by, I know I'm like this, and I'm like, hey, dropping stuff on the floor, the floorboard. Hey, will you bend over and pick up my mechanical pencils every time? Because I don't want to be seen with the drug dealer. And so this is not false. We pull up to the window, and you know how you can see people standing inside the restaurant when you pull up to the window to pay for your food. Well, I pull up, and what does he do in the passenger seat is he leans up to look in. He leans up to look into the restaurant while I'm paying. So people standing in line inside of the restaurant can see him in my car. Everybody knows the kind of reputation that this guy has. Everybody knows it. And here I am being seen with him. Youth pastor. Youth pastor knows him. The youth pastor knows him. So now I'm thinking, I'm going to have to witness to this boy on the way home, because the youth pastor has seen me with this person. And he's going to say, now, not that he would be judgmental about that, but he would be wondering, what am I doing hanging out with this crowd of people? And I'd have to be like, look, Listen, Brother Chad, here's what happened. I took him home from school so I could witness to him. I witnessed to him. But now I'm going to have to really witness to the guy so that I won't lie to my youth pastor. I can't be like, you know, I just gave him a ride home and ran him through Burger King. Nobody's going to believe that. Sometimes people don't believe the truth. They just don't believe it. But I know when the youth pastor saw me, and we never brought this up. We never talked about this at church or anything. He never brought it up to me while this guy was with me. Nobody ever said anything about it. I'm sure there was some talking. You know what it's like in a small southern town. There's a lot of talking going on. But he never brought that up. And so anyway, that's the way that went. But I don't know. I know some of my kids' friends listen to the podcast. Not all of them, but some of them listen to him. If I ever see you in the car with a drug dealer, we're going to have a conversation. There's going to be a conversation to be had. And do not tell me you were just giving him a ride home and taking him to Burger King, because that's not true. That can't possibly be true. I think, though, the most embarrassing thing to ever happen to me took place in the 12th grade. And you may have heard this story before, but it was the summer after 12th grade. And I was at a party, again, doing things I probably shouldn't have been doing. Thank the Lord for his safety and guidance and mercy and protection. And I'm not saying that as a joke. God protected me. Thanks to my mother's fervent prayers while I was out up to no good, the Lord absolutely protected me. And I will go so far as to say spared my life many occasions. But I was at a party in August. It was August the 13th, 1999. That was a Friday. You can look it up. Google it up. August the 13th, 1999. Friday the 13th. And I was at a party at this beautiful house out in the country, and And there's a swimming pool, and so we were all outside. It was probably 50, 60 kids, maybe more, maybe a little less. Maybe it was a, but it was a lot of kids. And we were standing outside by this pool, having a party at this beautiful house out in the country. And there was this girl there who I didn't was not fond of, and I knew she hated me. We'd had an issue over a boy, which she later married. She won that battle, and that's fine and great and well and dandy. But we had an issue, and I was really ugly to her and did some ugly things to her, and she did some ugly things to me. But I want to set the scene of I am 5'11". When I enter a room, you know, and not because I have a presence, but because I'm big. I am very Amazon-like. And she was very petite, cute, small, precious little cheerleader. And if you stacked us side by side, it looks like twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. That's what it complete opposite differences and physical, how much weight we can, carry, and just completely opposite. And so if you look at Danny DeVito and Arnold, you would think if they fought, Arnold would knock him out with one hit. That'd be the end of it. Well, that's not true. This girl was about 4'11", maybe 115 pounds, cute, little petite, but she could fight like Muhammad Ali. She packed a punch like a 350 man, 50-pound man. And so I'm standing there, head to toe in my American Eagle, listening to Pearl Jam Black. I'll never forget it. Standing there, and I feel a tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and then my lights are knocked out. Now, I don't know how this little girl reached my eye. I don't know if there was a rebound or trampoline there that she had to jump on, if someone gave her a lift, if it was a boost, if she came up out of the air. I don't even know how she reached my face. But she reached it, and she reached it well. And really, do you see that I have glasses on Facebook? That's one of the reasons why my vision has never been right since I got hit in that eye. One eye is 20/20 vision, and one eye is my vision. One eye does not work, and this is because she has damaged some kind of retinas or sockets or some kind of somethings back on August the 13th, 1999. And so she has hit me in the face. This is not even the most embarrassing part. She's hit me in the face, and there's this crowd of all of us standing around kids, and it seems like the music stopped, and everybody's just, what happened? She just hit Suzanne in the face. Good. And so I'm bent around, and I'm thoroughly embarrassed already, and I think, what am I going to do? And so I think I'm just going to have to hit her. I'm going to have to hit her back. I've never hit anybody in my life. I don't even know how to do it. Is it going to hurt me? What is going to happen? If I hit this person, am I going to be in jail tonight? I don't know what to do. I've never been in a fight. What do I look like? I'm from Arkansas. I'm just kidding. I've never been in a fight. And so I turn around, and before I can even do anything, don't know what I was going to do, this guy at the party runs into me like a linebacker. And kind of hurls me up over his shoulder a little bit and flings me into the swimming pool, fully clothed, into the swimming pool. I sink to the bottom like a stone. All these people, have you ever seen The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman? Everybody is looking over the pool, and I can see their, shadows looking over the pool. And right then, you know how Jenny from Forrest Gump used to say, "Lord, make me a bird so I can fly far, far away." I was praying for the Lord to make me a fish so I could just stay at the bottom of that pool for the rest of my life. It was the most embarrassing thing. Not only had I been hit in the eye, but now I had been thrown into a swimming pool fully clothed. I'm wondering, how am I going to get out of this swimming pool? Because I have on these heavy cargo American Eagle pants, right? And who knows what kind of top I had on, but I remember the pants that, of course, were weighing me down like cement. They weigh 75 pounds dry. Now they weigh 100 pounds wet. And I'm thinking, how am I even going to walk out of this pool? I'm going to look awkward with these wet clothes, my eye, I can't see anything. Not to mention that when my hair gets wet, it frizzes, and this is summertime. So I'm going to walk out of this pool sopping wet with fuzzy hair in front of most of my graduating class. I mean, there was tons of people there. Most of my graduating class is there. And so anyway, when you walk out of the end of the pool, the end of the pool is facing the woods there. And so when you walk out of the end of the pool, I just kept walking straight into the woods. I didn't know what to do. I just kept walking straight into the woods, and my good friends were still back there arguing with her and her friends. And then we finally all got in my car and had to go to my friend's house and put some frozen pipsqueak black-eyed peas on my eye. I was scheduled to go to work the next day at the dry cleaners, and I live in a small town of 12. I did, and I knew I could not go into the dry cleaners with that swollen eye. It was going to be the talk of the town. And so I quit my job. So not only did I lose my sight in one eye, but I lost my job as well. I called him and I said, "I cannot come in this morning. I've been in an accident." "Oh, Susanna, are you okay?" I was like, "No, I cannot work again for the rest of my life. I'm going to be on permanent disability. Thank you for letting me work there all summer and make a little money to buy some Creed CDs, but I'm done." Those are just a handful of my most embarrassing moments. If you're watching me on Facebook, it says that the live stream is not working very well. So I'm going to end this. I'm going to end this so you can go back and watch. I cannot see comments coming through. So there's obviously an issue with the internet. But if you are watching me on Facebook and you miss part of the live stream, you can go back and watch the pod here, listen to the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. Do drop me some of your most embarrassing comments in the comment section, and once I end this live feed, I will go back and read them. I like laughing at other people's expense because I laugh so much at my own expense. Don't forget, How May I Offend You Today, pre-order now. That is available, will be available wherever books are sold on October the 20th. God bless.